Eagles Entertainment.
Welcome, Eagles Everywhere, to the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group. Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro with you at the NovaCare Complex. Just a few weeks away now from the 2023 NFL Draft. It's really an interesting time here in the NFL's offseason. Free agency still moving along. Still some quality players out there. And we'll meet a couple of the newest Eagles here on this Eagles Insider Podcast. Top 30 visits happening as we speak as the NFL Draft gets closer. So teams are in meetings preparing for the draft. Howie Roseman, you know, is working the phones, and they've got these draft prospects coming through the NovaCare Complex. 30 in all. They meet coaches. They don't talk football very much, but it's just a chance to take physicals, if that's the case. Just a chance for the teams to get to know these players, kind of interview style, position coaches. Really, a chance to find out as much information about these young men as possible. So I would say generally the Eagles and every team probably, you know, you look back and you go, well, yeah, those players came through in top 30 visits. So the Eagles have 6 picks at the moment in the 2023 NFL draft. How many of these top 30 players, these visits, by the way, are public and they're out there. How many of the players who come through on top 30 visits will the Eagles end up selecting? That's always something I enjoy looking back on. In this Eagles Insider Podcast episode, we are going to meet 2 new veterans who join the team. Kentavious Street is a defensive lineman who has been on the rise since recovering from a torn ACL suffered in a pre-draft visit back in 2018. He's played with San Francisco and New Orleans, and now he's an Eagle, and we'll meet him in just a moment. But first, we're going to meet quarterback Marcus Mariota, the number 2 overall selection in the 2015 NFL Draft. We remember it well. The Eagles had Chip Kelly as the head coach. He came from Oregon, where Mariota starred, and after Kelly left, took the Ducks to the national championship and in the process won the Heisman Trophy. There was a clamor among media and fans for the Eagles to trade up and get Mariota in 2015. Instead, he went to the Tennessee Titans. And we remember Commissioner Roger Goodell introducing the pick, Marcus Mariota, to the Tennessee Titans.
The second pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon.
Now for an exclusive one-on-one with new Eagles quarterback Marcus Mariota. Marcus, welcome to Philadelphia. How's it been today?
It's been awesome. It's been really fun for me to be able to walk around and meet everybody here. I'm excited to be here in Philly. You know, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, maybe 9 years later than I thought, but
that's so great that you're going to talk
excited.
About it.
I'm excited to be here.
That's a great segue into 2015. I mean, how aware were you of the clamor in Philadelphia for Marcus Mariota?
The support was unbelievable. It's such a weird time because you have no idea where you're going to go. College, when you're getting recruited, it's different. You kind of have a say where you want to be. The NFL, you just kind of wait. You hear everything. I appreciated the support from the fan base here, and I'm glad to be here now.
How did they get at you? Were they hitting you up on social media then?
No, not at all. It's just funny. Like, I think there's Philadelphia fans everywhere. I did my training down in California. We go to restaurants, and just so happened that there'd be a Philly fan in there, and they're yelling, do the deal, you know?
Absolutely.
So it was a cool moment, a cool time for me. I'm excited to be here now.
Did you have a secret? I mean, you were just a kid then. Like, did you have a secret hope that Chip would somehow make it happen?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, I'm forever grateful for Tennessee and the opportunity that I got. Obviously, just through our relationship from before in college, it just kind of made sense. It would have been a cool fit.
What was the experience like that draft weekend, hearing your name number 2 overall?
Still surreal, really. It was really special for me to do it back home in Hawaii. I got an opportunity to spend it with high school teammates, college teammates, and friends and family. And that was what was most important for me, to be able to join that moment, because I wasn't there by myself. It took a lot of hard work from a lot of different people, and to be able to share that moment with them was important for me.
What does it feel like, Marcus? This is your ninth year. I mean,
it's crazy. We were just talking about it. You know, I was joking about it with Alex Tanney, quarterback coach here, and I don't know if I can call him coach. We're teammates, and when you start getting teammates to become coaches, that means you've been playing for a long time. So it's pretty cool. It's a blessing to be able to do this, something that I love for this long.
How would you describe the experience? What has the journey been like?
It's been wild, right? You know, to come out and to be a first round pick with Tennessee, to have some success early on there, it was awesome, and it was a fun place to play. Nashville was a great city. You know what? Things happen, injuries. You know, you don't play well. But I think that's what's cool for me is that I've gained kind of all this experience, whether it was in Tennessee, whether it was with the Raiders and in Atlanta, that has allowed me to hopefully be a voice for guys, younger guys, and create value that way and hopefully make an impact in that way.
Is the NFL different than college in that it's more of a humbling kind of experience?
Yes and no. I think the NFL has a crazy way of humbling you, but at the same time, like, you get to experience things that are out of this world. Like, I remember specifically my rookie year, and then I'm looking down the middle of the field, and the post safety is Charles Woodson. And, you know, to say that for me, a Hall of Famer, was really cool. And at the same time, you know, it kind of built confidence in me, because I'm like, I'm walking on the same field, I'm playing against guys that are, you know, Hall of Famers that have done it for such a long period of time. And, you know, it's kind of a mixture of both. And it's quite the experience, and one that I'll never regret for anything.
I feel like, Marcus, you've kind of done it all in the NFL. Like, you've been a starter, you've had success, you've been in the playoffs, you've won playoff games, you've been great, you've been hurt, you've been benched, you've been cut, you've moved from team to team, you've been a starter, you've been a backup. Do you feel that?
Yes, I do. And I think that's what's really lack for a better term, but really cool for me, is that I can relate to any guy in the locker room. I can relate to the guy that's a starter. I can relate to the guy that's scout team. I can relate to the guy that's on the bubble. I can relate to the guy that's been hurt, that's an IR. So for me to be able to build relationship with the guys and to connect, and just to continue to build a chemistry, I think is what's important. And, you know, I understand that's kind of my role, and I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities and try to find a way to make an impact.
I've read stories where you have reflected upon your career, and you said that the time you spent with the Raiders after the 5 years in Tennessee were, in a way, you didn't play a lot there, but in a way it really kind of refreshed your perspective, your energy for the game. Can you kind of talk about that now with that year in Atlanta also as part of the picture?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my time in Tennessee, you know, I was beat up both mentally and physically. You know, I really questioned if I wanted to do it anymore. And the Raiders gave me an opportunity just to kind of sit and be around a great guy in Derek Carr. And just being around that quarterback room, being around that team, just kind of lit a fire in me again and gave me that passion that has always been there. I think you go through so much negativity and injuries and maybe not success that, you know, you kind of like question, you doubt, and you kind of lose a little bit of confidence. And that tenure that I had with the Raiders gave me an opportunity to just do it for the love of the game. You know, I got to run the scout team. You know, I did get in there for a few plays, also got in for a game. So just kind of like revamped me a little bit.
Got your hunger.
It did, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm grateful that I got an opportunity to play with the Falcons again, to be a starter. And, you know, it was cool, you know, to be able to live out a dream of being a professional quarterback again. And it's like, I got to live it again, with the Falcons. And, yeah, I think all in all, that 2 years that I had in Vegas really kind of solidified why I love the game and the passion that I have for it. And, you know, I'm hoping to do this as long as I can.
How was last year in Atlanta, a young team? You're the starter. What was it like being back in the saddle again?
It was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it because a lot of young players, a lot of team people, whatever, outside that said, hey, you guys are going to win 3 or 4 games. And, you know, we had won 5 in, you know, 6 or 10 weeks or 11 weeks or whatever it was. And the fact of the matter is, I feel like I was able to help impact guys, hopefully for the rest of their careers, just because I get the experiences like we talked about earlier. You know, obviously didn't finish out the way that I wanted, but, you know, I'm confident that I did everything I could for that team. I put forth my best effort every single day. And, you know, I appreciate that opportunity that I had, and I'll look back on it and smile about it.
And in December, you had a baby.
Yeah,
so how's that changed your life? It's been kind of a whirlwind last several months.
Oh, man. Perspective. You know, had my little girl, Micaiah. During that same week, you know, I was asked, they're going to move on in the direction of Dez. And I think it brought a lot of perspective for me. You know, football isn't necessarily everything. And I think I've been wired for so long that it became such a priority for me. But with this little girl now, it takes a back seat. And in some ways, it's refreshing. And to be able to spend time with her and be around my family for the holidays was really special for me, and one that I'll never take away and never take for granted.
All right, so now you're a Philadelphia Eagle. You know what this franchise has been about for many years. Why Philadelphia? Why is this a good fit for you?
Ultimately, from afar, it seems like a first-class organization. I mean, today, the fact that I walked around and got to meet everybody from office, top, front office, all the way down to guys that are, you know, working in the equipment room. And the fact that they took time to be able to just to talk to me and to meet me, I think says a lot about who the organization is. And secondly, I think it just was a great fit. A lot of connections, a lot of relationships that I've built. And to be a part of a team that was a play away from winning the Super Bowl, I think was such a great opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And I'm excited to be around these guys and just try to make an impact where I can.
Do you know Jalen?
I don't. We actually, what was really cool was he reached out once it came out that I was going to sign. And, you know, we have a mutual friend in Tua. So to be able to just to talk was really cool. And, you know, I told him, hey, I'm here for you, man. I'm here to make you better however I can. You know, I'm going to be that support because I think it's important to have a strong quarterback group just for the entire team. And, you know, he's an incredible leader. He's fun to watch, and I'm going to do whatever I can just to make sure he continues to get better.
So you understand the role you're coming into. I mean, that's really important, having that understanding the role and being great in that role.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've always valued the team-first mentality, and to be a part of a team that is so close to winning a Super Bowl, and you feel like you can help and maybe make an impact, was just a great opportunity for me and one that I really couldn't pass up.
Marcus, how important is the chemistry in the quarterback room? It is so intense. You guys are just together all the time. I mean, I imagine you guys really have to genuinely like each other and genuinely work together.
Yeah, no doubt. That's something I really learned when I was with the Raiders and Derek. When you have a strong quarterback room, it kind of trickles down to everybody else. And the quarterback room, you have to be able to be a sounding board. You have to be able to be a guy that tells the truth. Because at the end of the day, like, ultimately, if the guy that's playing is playing better, it's just going to make the room look good. And I believe in that 100%. And I think my opportunity to be able to be there for Jalen, it's kind of crazy for me to think I'm an older guy now. But to be an older guy.
Are you
29? 29. To be an older guy, to just share the experiences that I've been through. And if it's one little nugget that he gets that makes a difference on a third down, you know, that's important to me, and I'm going to do whatever I can to do that.
He's a pretty amazing guy.
That's right.
You know, 24 yeah. years old, like, he's got the wisdom of forever.
No doubt.
Never seen anything like it. So since you spoke about how Eagles fans reached out to you in 2015, what has it been like since you became an Eagle? Have you had interaction with Eagles fans who, as you say, are everywhere?
Yeah, I have. Coming here today, I flew from Hawaii. That's home for me right now. And on my flight, there's three or four people that come up and are just ecstatic about the Eagles and, you know, just can't stop talking about the game and the football. And I think that's really cool to be a part of a team that has such an incredible fan base. And I'm excited to be able to play for them.
Is the NFL really huge? I mean, I know the Pro Bowl was there forever, every year. Did you ever go to the Pro Bowl?
Yes. Check it out? I experienced it every year when that it was out there. I was a kid that was waiting in line for autographs. I was a kid that was at the NFL Experience.
Awesome.
And I really, you know, culturally, football back home is such a big deal. You know, it goes generations of families playing at certain high schools, and you know, you're getting people to, you know, four generations of families that are at games that have gone to games forever. And you know, obviously we don't have the volume like a Texas or a Florida or a California, but football means a lot. And to be able to be around that growing up and to be here that I or right now where I'm at is pretty cool. And at the end of the day, I just try to represent that in the best way I can.
Is there a best autograph that you have? Like, is there one that you prize that's in the Marcus Mariota man cave somewhere?
I would say one that I think is just a funny memory for me is Jerry Rice had made the Pro Bowl 1 year, and he was a Raider. And my dad at the time grew up as a big San Francisco 49ers fan. And, you know, he's all day, we're talking about, you're going to get a chance to meet Jerry. And so we got there early, waited in line. And as we're waiting in line, he finally asked, he's like, what kind of helmet do you have to sign? Because I basically would save my allowance to buy many helmets to sign. And I finally pulled out a Raider helmet. He was so sick. He was so upset with me. But the fact of the matter is I got a Jerry Rice Oakland Raiders signed autograph, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. Last question. I look at your bio from University of Oregon, and you're hugging the Heisman Trophy. Where is the Heisman? What does one do with a Heisman Trophy over after all these years?
It's back home in Hawaii. Okay. It's at my parents' house.
Not in your house.
No. I really believe that it takes a family and a village to get to the point that where I was there, and I really believe it's theirs. And it's pretty cool. Like, the school gets one too, and the shrine, sort of say, that they have at the school is really, really cool how they built it. It's built around the Hawaiian Islands, and it's got basically a big base that talks about family and coaches and my teammates there at Oregon, and it's just all the levels of it. And it's really cool. And I think at the end of the day, like, I really believe, you know, the Heisman Trophy is a team award. It takes a group of guys to be able to win that whole thing. And I'm forever grateful for the teammates that I had there.
Awesome. Marcus, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank
great
you.
Great to meet you. Let's
nice
have a great
you.
Season. Marcus Mariota on the Eagles Insider Podcast. All right. His name from this point forward is Street. That's the way Kentavious Street wants it. Defensive lineman. Good production in New Orleans last year. Solid season the year before with the 49ers. Terrible introduction into the NFL, suffered a torn ACL on a pre-draft visit. So a lot going on with a really engaging player who adds depth to the defensive tackle position, the defensive line group. How will the Eagles use him? We'll find out. But Street is all about doing what it takes to help this Eagles defense. Joining me here on the Eagles Insider Podcast, defensive lineman Kentavious Rickavian Street. That's the last time I will call you that.
Yeah.
Because you like to be called
Street.
Street.
Yeah.
What's the, why is that?
It's just simpler on everyone. And it's just kind of catchy.
It is catchy.
A lot of people have like gone out of their way to add something on to Street because it's so simple. So I've had a lot of people call me Street Money, Super Street. There's a lot of stuff. Streak.
You can work with it. And we're used to it around here with Slay. So
yeah.
No problem at all. Welcome to Philadelphia. You sign on Friday. We're talking, or you agree to terms on Friday. You come in on Monday. What's the first day been like? What kind of impressions do you have?
It's been amazing. I want to make sure that that's like as heartfelt as it is. Like, because I feel like a lot of times in this business, you can just be like, oh, this is good. It's great. But no, like, this has been the best, last like 6 hours? Being around an organization I've ever experienced, man. Like, everyone's smiling, everyone's happy. It's very inviting, welcoming. It's a lot of love in this organization. I really like that.
And you feel that that is a genuine, authentic feeling?
Yeah. Like, everyone, I really feel like everyone really loves doing what they're doing here.
I think that's great. That, I mean, I think as an organization, like, there's no better first impression you can give off than that. And it's the truth. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
A lot of success here. People who believe in working together for success. Your career has been so interesting, Street. I mean, I'm not sure how far back to go. I do want to go back to, from reading your bio, the message that your grandfather gave you, which I think sounds like it has shaped you your whole life, about when you're in first grade, he's telling you you've got to outwork everybody.
Yeah.
A first grader who hears that goes, Grandpop, what are you talking about there?
Yeah.
Why'd that stick with you?
So my grandpa was a Marine. And then after leaving the Marine Corps, he was a carpenter. So he was very hands-on, very blue-collar type worker. So in the summer, instead of just playing video games and stuff, I was out there helping him. We're breaking out foundation, putting foundation in HVAC, insulation, drywall, all of that stuff, you know. So when I started nagging and complaining about the heat and all that stuff while helping him, he instilled that in me. And just thinking back on that now, you know, when times do get tough, when it's challenging, when you face adversity, because you're going to face adversity in the league throughout the season, your body's going to get tired, not going to feel fresh. That's what I go to.
Well, you've had unbelievable adversity with the ACL injury.
Yeah.
It happened on a visit, pre-draft visit?
It was a pre-draft workout with the Giants. Yeah. So I was working out as a middle linebacker. And it was the last.
You're awfully big. You'd be a huge middle linebacker.
Yeah. So it was the last drill of the day. I went up to catch a pass. When I came down, I tore my ACL.
So thinking back to that, like, I mean, you've been in the NFL here now, year number six coming up.
Yeah.
Young guy thinking, wow, this is my chance here. Like, how did you deal with that?
Honestly, man, the people in my circle held me up because. Mentally, it was my first injury. I had sprained my ankle in high school, but nothing like an ACL. But my mom, my now wife, my friends, all my teammates that I went to college together, they were just constantly giving me positive feedback to help me get through it. Because it honestly took me 2 years to get over the ACL injury.
For sure.
And that's physical. Mentally, it took me probably like 2.5. So it was great just having those people around me to keep me going.
Initially, are you thinking, am I ever going to play back in the NFL? Am I ever going to get drafted? This is my big opportunity. I just lost a lot of money.
Everything you just named. Yeah. And just also not even the fact of, like, am I going to play football the way I played it before? But also the fact, man, all this hard work, everything I've been doing in my life, and this happens right now. It was shocking. And plus, I had never dealt with an injury like that before. I thought I was fine. I thought I maybe sprained it, hyperextended it, something like that. But I never knew it was as traumatic as it was.
I think people don't really appreciate how difficult it is to come back from an injury. You talk about the physical part of it. You get drafted fourth round by the Niners. You spend your entire season, I guess, in the classroom and in the rehab room, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're part of the team?
No, that's another part of it. It's very challenging to feel, like, involved because you see the guys going out there. You know how tough practice is, learning the playbook, all that stuff, and just being involved, the team chemistry, while you're kind of in the training room, you're working out, and you're grinding too, but you just don't feel as a part of the team. That's probably one of the tougher parts because you're used to being able to lean on your teammates. And, yeah, of course, I had great vets like Robbie Gould, Jimmy G. He also dealt with ACL injury. Jetrick McKinnon and the whole strength staff over there at the 49ers did an amazing job, you know, picking me up as much as they could. But it's tough not being a teammate in such a team-oriented sport. You know, you miss that.
You finally get cleared a year later, season later, 2020, you play 3 games. I wonder, Street, if you remember, what was it like the night before, and I've asked this question before, but you seem like such a guy who's very in touch with your emotions and very real. Like, what was it like the first time you went back out on the field in a game situation, and how much you kind of realized you missed the game of football?
Yeah, I was. I'm gonna create a word here. I was excitedly terrified.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to go out there and let my teammates down, who had been grinding the whole season. And I also didn't want to go out there and get hurt again. So that mixture of emotions. And then the guys were just so supportive. They were so happy to see me out there playing again because they knew how much I had worked to get back to that stage. So it was a great experience. And I think I had my first tackle of my career that game too. So it was great.
That's really awesome.
Was.
And then it took you a little bit longer. You get the rust knocked off then. And then the following season you felt like you were on the way back.
Yeah.
I always believe, like, I haven't seen you play that much. I mean, you played well against the Eagles in 2021 when you were with the Niners, played well against the Eagles last season with the Saints. Mm-hmm. I always look at a guy like you, and your numbers are certainly improved, that your best football is in front of you. Do you feel that?
No doubt. Early on in my career, I never knew how important confidence was, especially playing at this high level. Everyone's talented. Everyone knows the playbook, but the confidence and the self-belief You know, day play in and play out, especially on Sundays, is so important. And now I feel like I'm a lot more in tune with that. I'm not beating myself up for one mistake on a play. You know, I'm becoming more consistent. So now with all the things I've went through, with that in my back pocket and all the people that love and support me, I feel like I only get better.
Street, you're a defensive lineman. You've played on the edge. Yep. You've played inside as well. Can you, for fans who don't know you, can you kind of talk about what they can expect to see from you?
Honestly, whatever Coach Wash and Coach Walk want from me. You know, I have experience in both roles, just like you said. So I'm hoping to be as useful as they want me to be, and just make the most of whatever opportunity presents itself.
287, is that what you play at?
Yes, sir.
So explain to fans who just don't really know it, how do you win against 320-pound linemen? Like, what is the key for your game?
Flexibility, explosiveness, and will. And stamina. Stamina is huge. But explosiveness, beating them to the point and not letting that 320 move before my 287 moves.
If so you want to get off the ball.
Yeah.
Flexibility, you mean the bend?
Staying low.
Okay.
Staying low. So if I can get under them, I eliminate a bunch of their power. The weight's still there, but their power, their momentum to knock me back off the ball, I kind of isolate that.
What is it about the game of football that you love?
Ooh, everything, and especially the chemistry with the teammates. It's so special, guys. And because I feel like football is the ultimate team sport. And it's very rare that you can get a group of, 67 people, maybe? Yeah. 57 people? To
53 active practice squad,
yeah.
Guys who are hurt, 70 people?
Yeah,
okay. So 70 people. From all different backgrounds.
Right, from all different backgrounds to unite together for a common goal. It's so special, especially in today's day and age. I think it's great.
Do you have friends on this roster already?
I don't, but I have a bunch of role models. So I've been looking at Fletcher Cox and BG for the longest, man. And this Eagles D-line is special. Josh Sweat, we're in the same draft class, so I've been watching him and seeing how much he's grown as a player, man. It's super special. I can't wait to get in the room with those guys.
Your career, college, all of your teammates, you and all your teammates get drafted.
Yeah.
Like, you're always on a really good defensive line.
Yeah.
Why is that? What success breeds success?
You know, honestly, I think it's just a blessing. I can't say anything else. It's completely out of my control. I think it's just been a blessing.
Do you think guys learn from each other? Where you've been, people push each other?
Yeah, I think that's the most important part about building a D-line. You have to have some level of competition and chemistry together, because the guys have to care about one another, and through caring about one another, they want to see the other person thrive, and that's where you get the best D-line rooms.
Street, how did it come down that you became an Eagle?
I always wanted to be an Eagle. Going back to the days of Trent Cole, Brian Dawkins, you know, and once the opportunity presented itself, I feel like there's no better opportunity for me.
Wow. Trent, if you mention the name Trent Cole, you've definitely paid attention to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Nobody worked harder, undersized guy, and just nasty. Are you a nasty physical butt-kicking guy?
All
on the field?
That. I don't feel like you can be a D-lineman in the NFL if you don't have those characteristics.
Agreed.
So, yes, sir.
Agreed with that.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, man, I'm glad you came by. Looking forward to working with you. I know you're a dog lover, right? What kind of dogs are you into?
So I have two Shiba Inus, Doodlebop, and a little bit.
And how big are those dogs?
They're about 9 pounds each. A little bit,
oh,
maybe
little
a little
doggies.
Bit. Yeah. A little bit, maybe a little bit heavier. She's a little on the chunky side.
And how's that? What is that like moving dogs when you go from San Fran to New Orleans, now New Orleans to Philadelphia? How does one actually move a 9-pound dog? Do you drive that dog? The dog's up.
I'll probably drive them from Charlotte to Philly, but from Cali to New Orleans, we flew them. So they're small enough to fit in the little dog carrier that can go in the seat in the plane. So it wasn't too challenging.
Do they sleep in bed with you?
No.
They sleep in a crate.
My wife's completely against that.
Okay.
So we just have like some real fluffy dog beds that they like to nestle up into, and they'll go to sleep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, man, thank you so much.
No problem.
Appreciate
at all.
It. Welcome to Philadelphia. Let's go out and win some football games this year.
Yes, sir.
In this extra point here on the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group, a little dip into the world of NFL draft prognostication. ESPN's Todd McShay held a 2-round mock draft, and in the first round for the Eagles, he said the team would go with Iowa defensive end Lucas Van Ness at number 10. and he projected the Eagles taking another edge player for the defense at pick number 30, Will McDonald IV from Iowa State. McShay held a conference call on Wednesday, and reporters around the country joined in, and McShay was asked his thoughts on his projections for the Eagles' selections.
You know, I've bothered Philly fans for a few of these now, going with Bijan Robinson, and obviously, you know, to me, they lose their top running back, but they've got Kenneth Gainwell coming back. They brought in Rashad Penny. There's a lot of talk about Zeke Elliott. So I went away from, running back here. Lucas Van Ness, I mentioned earlier, the reason I gave him to Philly because he can play inside and out. And, you know, they lost Javon Hargrave. Fletcher Cox is coming back, but just on a one-year deal. Jordan Davis comes in a year ago. He's that massive, you know, space eater. But to have a guy in Van Ness that can play base downs at defensive end and then can reduce inside a defensive tackle and play next to Davis and utilize the double teams that he gets to help him with one-on-ones as a three technique on passing downs, I think would create a lot of value for him, and that versatility would really help. And then Will McDonald's undersized. He's about 240 pounds, somewhere in that range. But he's a pure edge who I think early in his career, he's just going to be a pass down, you know, pass rush specialist as he continues to get bigger and stronger. But they're very different players. One is a power end who's going to pass rush from the inside in Van Ness, and the other guy is just a pure edge rusher who's kind of silky smooth and has great bend and had 27 sacks and 35 and a half tackles for loss over the past three seasons. And also you look at like Brandon, I talked about the other guys, but Brandon Graham re-upped with the Eagles, but he's 34. Robert Quinn might be out the door as well. I know that they've had great production and great play at the edge, but you've got guys that are coming back 1 year deals, aging, might be gone. Like there's just a lot of question marks in the future. And I know how much of an emphasis Howie Roseman and that staff put on making sure that they have depth and a lot of talent along that defensive front. So yeah, again, I don't know if it's going to be two edge rushers. I did consider offensive line. Certainly Paris Johnson would be a fit, and they, you know, bring in youth and bring in versatility, you know, because Paris has played guard and played tackle. So that to me would make a lot of sense if they went in that direction at 10. And then later in the first, you know, the offensive tackles kind of, they come off the board. If you don't get one at 10, then you got Broderick Jones is going to go by 15, I would think. Darnell Wright from Tennessee is going to be gone by in the top 20, is most likely. So it would be tough late in the first to get an offensive tackle that you feel great about. I think more so when you get in the second round with like the offensive guards, the centers, guys like Anton Harrison from Oklahoma at tackle, DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle from Ohio State, the Syracuse guy, Bergeron. I think he'll be a second round pick. So to me, like the second round, if you don't get one of those top four guys in the top 20 or so, I think you dip back in the second round to try to get an offensive tackle.
And that will do it for this episode of the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group. Thanks to Kira Mahoney for her great work putting it all together. Peter Kelly, of course, is the maestro, if you will, of the podcast world here. Ray Doyle for his work in production, media relations department, for helping me get these players, Marcus in this case, and Street. And for those two players, we thank you very much for your time, for your honesty, and just for your genuine sit down and interview and answer the questions and have fun doing it. Really enjoyed both interviews with Marcus and with Street. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro. Thank you all for joining each and every episode here on the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group. We invite you to give us a 5-star review. Please do so. It helps so much, both internally and externally. We're back next week. Really interesting guest, John Ferrari, our assistant general manager, who's going to explain very detailed the new rules changes for 2023, what was tabled, what was rejected, and what it all means for this upcoming NFL season. Don't miss the episode. Great interview for those who want to really dig in and drill in to what happens on and off the field in the NFL. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day. Fly, Eagles, fly. And go Birds!
E-A-T-L-E-S!